Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
Got the update coming from One Bills Drive, but not much news coming out of One Bills Drive. Sabres in the news a little bit. Sabres lost their third in a row last night with a 4-2 loss to the Florida Panthers in Sunrise, Florida. Sabres GM Jason Botterill asked today whether a coaching change is on the table. He said no. No coaching change on the table. He says our management staff is looking very hard over the next week to make moves. If it happens, great. If not, then we're looking over the next couple of months to make moves. The NHL trade deadline is next Monday. By the way, the Instigators will have a five-hour show. Steve and I will not be on the air next Monday to make way for the NHL trade deadline. Sabres wrapping up their road trip in Florida tomorrow night in Tampa. Face-off scheduled for 7:30 after the loss, third in a row, 4-2, last night for the Sabres in Sunrise, Florida. UB Bulls have their 2019 football schedule out today. They open at home against Robert Morris on Thursday, August 29th. Then they travel to Penn State on September 7th. Fourth time the Bulls will play the Nittany Lions. Following that, UB on the road again at Liberty University September 14th. And then one more non-conference game at home September 21st against Temple. The rest of their eight games against Mid-American Conference foes. Final three games of the season for the UB football Bulls will be weeknight games played on national television. College basketball tonight, St. Bonaventure home at the Riley Center. 7 o'clock tip-off against LaSalle. They've won three of their last four, five of their last seven. St. Bonaventure hopes to keep that momentum going tonight against the LaSalle Explorers. And the big national game tonight, Duke and Carolina. It's an ACC huge matchup. The top-ranked Duke Blue Devils against 8th-ranked North Carolina. They will play at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Tip-off 9 o'clock tonight at Duke University, Carolina and Duke. And one sad note from baseball. Former Dodgers pitching great Don Newcomb died. The announcement came yesterday after a lengthy illness. He was 92 years old, one of the first African-American pitchers in Major League Baseball. Joined the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1949. Don Newcomb passed away yesterday. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio here to talk football. When it seems like there's not a whole lot to talk about in football, we got a good guest, though, who's going to get things going. Frequent guest on the show. Happy to have him. CBS Sports NFL insider, contributor to NFL Today. Happy to have Jason LaConfora on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Hello, Jason. John Murphy, Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Hey, can I ask you a baseball question? I know you're an Orioles guy.
Yeah.
Just I was kind of moved today by Don Newcomb, and he, obviously a little bit younger than his era, but I know he was an important figure in Major League Baseball history back in the Jackie Robinson era, wasn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And unfortunately, it was only a week or so ago that we lost Frank Robinson
right.
as well, and that sort of greatest generation. I think we really are, unfortunately, now being able to count on one hand. In some cases, some of these icons still left and people who paid such a very real price to simply pursue their athletic goals at a time when there were countless reasons why people, found to exclude people based on race and other factors as well. I hope people take the time to go back and, I try to get my young sons to read up on these individuals, sadly sometimes too late, but a lot of institutional knowledge and a lot of tremendous people who fought a very real fight, unfortunately, no longer with us.
God, Steve's going to kill me for asking you one more baseball question, but I'm thinking with your, you're a Baltimore guy. You must have crossed paths with Frank Robinson a lot over the years, right?
I did several times. In fact, when I was a kid, a lot of times I would take the bus out to Memorial Stadium, and we'd get there early, like noon, and wait for the players and managers and stuff as they got to the ballpark, to get baseball cards signed and stuff like that. And Frank was the Orioles skipper for a while, and he would invariably bust our chops on the way into the ballpark. Why aren't you knuckleheads in summer school? I know you kids didn't pass. Good-natured stuff. But he would usually take the time to say something, and there were more than one occasion where one of the clubhouse kids would come out and say, hey, go to the will call window, and there'd be tickets left for some of us from Frank. Or there were, some of the kids out there had, less means than others. And there were many times when a clubhouse kid would come out with a bunch of baseball pants and bats and stuff, and all of a sudden it would be handed to a particular kid out there, and that was Frank. And he was never a guy who wanted to be seen as soft or seen as lovey-dovey or cute and cuddly. And after all he went through, you can understandably think why he was hardened to some degree the way he was. But I also knew he had a really good heart. And for every story about a time he didn't sign an autograph for somebody or he wasn't, you know, he wasn't in the best mood, I know he did a whole lot of things for a lot of people. And this is a man who, when he got to Baltimore, could not get a house anywhere after being traded for the Reds because no one would rent to him and no one would sell to him in any neighborhood. Brooks Robinson had to literally go around and tell realtors, the team's not going to do business with you guys anymore unless you help this man find a house in the area he wants to live in. That's not that long ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's 1966. It's
right.
Not that long ago.
I got a good Frank Robinson story that I will spare you, JC, because Steve's giving me dirty looks.
No, I'm not.
No, but no, my story comes.
This is where we're going to go. Trust me, I won't cut this conversation off, so you guys better.
Well, I'll tell you, I had one encounter with Frank Robinson. It was great. He was managing the Rochester Red Wings in my senior year at Syracuse University. I didn't go to a lot of classes my second semester senior year, but we went to Syracuse Chiefs games. Frank Robinson, as a manager, would coach third base. We had an ongoing dialogue, me and my buddies, during the course of an entire weekend of games. He was fantastic. I thought this is a future. I don't think he was in the Hall of Fame. He might have been in the Hall of Fame by then. He was a future Hall of Famer who was just talking to a bunch of college kids on every time he was in and out of the dugout. Just a wonderful man. I really loved him.
He spent parts of 7 decades in Major League Baseball from the time he was a minor leaguer until at the end when he was still working for the league office. Parts of 7 decades. Associated with
That's
professional
big.
Baseball. That's unbelievable.
Steve, you better ask Jason about football.
No, it's interesting. I find the history awesome, and I think it's something that we get caught up too much in the moment, and everything now is the best and the greatest, and we forget some of the great, really great human beings that have shaped sport in our country, not only on the field but outside the lines. And unfortunately, it's still going on even today, and in decades to come, we'll mention some names like that. Some kids today will mention names that are prevalent in the game today in future generations. So it's on one hand, it's unfortunate that it still goes on, but on the other hand, the fact that sooner or later it does come around and we get it right.
Yep. Jason, let me get you into football here. And we got an interesting Twitter poll today. And, you know, we evaluate the Bills' 2018 season, look ahead to 2019. Steve and I decided that a lot of it comes down to what fans think about Josh Allen. And we're asking people today, is Josh Allen the guy? From your perspective, and nationwide NFL perspective, is Josh Allen the guy for the Buffalo Bills? And you can interpret that any way you want.
I think he's certainly the guy to continue investing several more seasons in until you absolutely know. I mean, not everybody is going to jump on the scene the way an Andrew Luck did, the way, Deshaun Watson did, the way a Patrick Mahomes did, the way a Baker Mayfield did. I know it seems to be happening more now than previously, but to Steve's point about maintaining a historical prism, when you look through the history of the game, you know, that happens maybe once or twice a decade. I can give you Troy Aikman's rookie stats. I can give you Peyton Manning's rookie stats. You know what I mean? I can give you Dan Fouts' rookie stats. I can give you, you know, John Elway's rookie stats. That's more the norm. So I think he needs, like most kids, time, and especially from the program he came from and you know, what he was asked to do versus what he'll be asked to do when he's a full-fledged, experienced NFL starting quarterback. There's just a natural learning curve and an ebb and a flow to all this, and you can't get caught up in what happened in Cleveland this year and Kansas City this year or Houston last year. And you know what I mean? I think that's everybody's norm. So I think there is plenty of clay to mold there. I think he is one of the better athletes in this league already. I think it's kind of like the situation here in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson, that you know what he can do running the football. You know what some of the issues are with accuracy, and you know having, in Josh's case, harness that arm at times and unleash it at others. But, you know, again, I'll compare it to Lamar. It's not like he was getting every single rep in the offseason. It was all about getting him ready for week one. You know what I mean? This is really his first full offseason where you're not splitting the reps three ways and you're not trying to figure out when to finally kind of put him in the deep end and make it shackle-free and go play against the best defenses in the world. At this time, you know, well, obviously they hadn't drafted him at this time last year, but even being out there for OTAs and stuff, I mean, it's not like he was getting, it was all about his development. And now it's all about his development. So I would look for progress this year. I'm not looking for the finished product this year. And then I think year three, that's when you want to have a winning quarterback on your hands. But I was intrigued by a lot of what I saw. You can understand why they made the investment they made. But, you know, obviously there's still some, you know, a fair amount of progress that needs to be made.
Yeah, I want to ask you, too, about guys around the league. So since Buffalo seems to, like you, I mean, maybe not, has their franchise quarterback, are there surprises around the National Football League of guys, as the free agent market looms coming up, are there surprises around the league that might get franchised, or is it pretty much cut and dried for most of the teams?
Yeah, I don't think there'll be somebody totally off the radar who gets it at this point. You know, look, we know that we talked about quarterbacks, and there's never enough of them to go around. And then there's never enough guys to go around who get after the quarterback, right? So,
right.
I mean, the DeMarcus Lawrences, the D. Fords, you know, a guy like Grady Jarrett who can collapse the pocket from the interior. You know, I have a hard time with seeing teams, you know, even let them go. Those are guys you got to try to keep in the building at all costs, even if in the case of DeMarcus Lawrence, it requires a second straight tag to do so. You know, Ziggy Ansah's a great pass rusher, but they franchised him last year. They gave him $17 million. He was hurt more than he's not. You know, are they going to give the Lions, where they are as a program right now, $21, $22 million to Ziggy Ansah next year? No, but I bet he still does pretty decently on the free agent market just because of supply and demand. So I think there'll be a few offensive linemen, some kickers. Nick Foles is the one quarterback, and then these pass rushers. You know, teams are going to fight and claw to keep them from hitting the market.
Is Jadeveon Clowney going to get tagged?
I think he will at the end of the day for that reason. Now, it could be a precursor to a trade. I do not believe it'll be a springboard towards a record, you know, a market-setting contract. I don't really know that they're willing to go there, you know, the kind of commitment it would take, you know, 3 years worth of guaranteed money to secure him. I think they're kind of more like, let's rent him for another year. We got to get over the hump. And he's had some injury concerns, and we may have to, you know, recalibrate our entire defense in a year. But for right now, we want him. And then if value emerges over the next few months, and there's a trade to be made, you never know. But come July 15th, if he's not traded, do I think he signs a long-term deal before that franchise deadline to do so? I wouldn't bet on it.
We're with Jason Lacanfora, CBS Sports NFL Insider, NFL Today contributor. Got a post up on CBSSports.com, Jason, in which you kind of take a look at a preview of NFL free agency now coming up March 13th. A post went up the other day. You say it's likely, I believe you say that it's likely that Le'Veon Bell gets a transition tag for the pitcher.
I thought he was going to get transitioned. I absolutely did. People very much in the know in Pittsburgh have been telling me for months that they've been talking to the NFL Management Council about this, and that was their preferred strategy. Now, I think the problem became the Antonio Brown situation spiraled so far out of control to a point where ownership's like, okay, we got to get him out of the building as soon as we can, get him to the NFC, you know, and let's try to get a first-round pick for him. They're going to take a $20-plus million cap hit to do that. If they transition Le'Veon Bell and they don't have a trade ready to go, you know, already signed, sealed, delivered the moment the league year starts in March 13th, now you're carrying him at $15 million. Your ability to do anything in free agency is really compromised there. They never have much cap space to begin with. So ultimately, after this meeting with Antonio Brown and his agent, you know, then they continue to meet with ownership, and basically the Rooneys, you know, don't want to cut off their nose to spite their face. And it's hard enough to make one, you know, blockbuster deal in this league and get true value, let alone try to make two, and one that's as complicated as Bell trying to trade him off a transition tag where he's going to have to agree to a new contract, you know, have the basis of a new contract already in place with another team. So ultimately, they backed away from you know, something that they had been planning for quite some time.
Jason, I got a thing to tell you. We've been talking a lot about the AAF on our show. It's been kind of competitive, and for me, it's drawn me in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that they just got an infusion of cash, so they're going to be around for a little while longer. One thing that came out of our time at the Super Bowl a couple of weeks ago is we got a chance to talk to Don Yee, who is,
yeah,
for those of you who don't know, is the agent for Tom Brady. He and maybe one other, maybe Stan Kroenke, I think, may be behind a new league, football league. It's not the XFL, it's not the AAF, but it's a league that's made up of basically what are high school players that don't want to go to college.
Yeah, it'll be. I actually did a. You can go to CBSSports.com. I did a long interview with Don Yee shortly after the Super Bowl. I think the article came out maybe a week ago today. It's called Pac Pro. It'll be four teams, all based in the Southern California area near LA. And basically, what they're trying to do is create a viable marketplace for. Look, let's look at the quarterback at Clemson, right, Lawrence. He's got to stay in school 3 years, even though right now he'd be the first overall pick if he could declare right now. So let's say he plays next year. The Pac Pro League aims to start around June or July of 2020. So let's say he plays out next year. And now he's sitting there playing a bowl game knowing I got to stay healthy a whole another year before I can finally go in the draft, and I'm not going to get a dime, and I can't license my likeness, and I can't sign an autograph for $5, and I don't even own my own name. Well, boy, Don Yee's going to give me, whatever, $75,000 to play in a season that will only be 6 or 8 games, and every practice is going to be open to the NFL, and it's going to be like the Senior Bowl every single day out there. They're going to have training camp. NFL teams can be out there, watch every practice. It'll be individualized, 1v1. They're going to minimize the trauma and the duress and the reps that these kids get. And then you're going to play these games, and in the meantime, he can sell T-shirts. He can sell his marketing rights for several million dollars. He can start collecting all of that. The league will pay for him to finish his education, and the league will obviously pay him cash in terms of a contract, and the league will provide insurance. If that catches on, you could have a whole bunch of 20, 21, 22-year-old kids who decide, hey, that might make more sense for me than playing out another season and hoping I don't get hurt in a college situation. So, yeah, that league is very intriguing to me, and they aim to hire a commissioner in the coming weeks. They're close to getting a television deal, and, again, they aim to launch next spring.
Jason, I want to go back to the Alliance for a second, and Steve mentioned the $250 million cash infusion. Do we view that as a good sign? Like, look, this guy believes in him enough to throw that money in? Or, I mean, I looked at it like, holy cow, they almost missed a payroll.
Yeah, and they're trying to couch it like, oh, you know, this guy wanted in for a long time. I'd be lying if I told you I knew the particulars of that. I got my hands full with the NFL.
Sure.
But I think I would look at it glass half full. I mean, $250 million, I mean, that's... It's hard to go through that money that quickly. Now, I do know they're very ambitious in terms of what they're giving out in terms of the insurance for that league, you know, players and coaches, and some of the benefits and the stipends. It was a significant undertaking. But that should keep them afloat for a while. You know, it better or worse, it had, at least we're talking about the league, right? It kept them in the news. And the product hasn't been half bad. So I have to look at it as a positive that whether it was in perilous times or not, to get one individual to come up with that much cash on the spot tells you maybe you're onto something.
Yeah. One last question for you, Jason. Back to the NFL and free agency. We're 3 weeks away from the opening of the free agent market. Who's going to be the biggest or the first big name to go, do you think? Who's going to be the most sought-after free agent when they open up in 3 weeks?
Well, I guess if we take the... we take the franchise guys out of it. I mean, I think Brandon Graham's going to be, if all these other pass rushers get tagged, I think Brandon Graham of the Eagles is going to go somewhere before free agency even officially starts. He's going to have a $14 million a year contract on his hands somewhere. You know, I think a wide receiver like Tyrell Williams of the Chargers, who's stuck behind some supreme talent there, but would be a number one in some places and certainly a number two anywhere. I think we saw receivers do really well in free agency the last few years. I think he hits it out of the park. And, I mean, look, Le'Veon Bell, that deal, I don't think he's going to get $50 million in the first 2 years like he wants, but that's one that I think will be done, you know, during that, you know, non-tampering period of time, the 2 or 3 days before the league year officially opens, and some of these offensive linemen as well. You know, Juwan James with the Dolphins, he's going to be in position to cash in. And then both the Patriots don't put a tag on Trent Brown. I mean, after the season he had, a young left tackle with that upside, I mean, you saw Nate Solder get $15 million a year last year. I think this kid, you know, probably eclipses that somewhere, and Trey Flowers of the Patriots will do very well out there as well.
Jason, thanks for this. Thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate it. Thanks for talking baseball with us.
Anytime. You guys got my number. You want to chat ball, I'm here.
Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Jason Lockhart for CBS Sports NFL Insider, NFL Today contributor, joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. Was that all right if we talked? Frank Robinson. Look, Jason is Mr. Sports in Baltimore, right?
Right.
And I knew, I don't know how we got on. Well, because Don Newcomb, I read that story.
Right.
And I thought, yeah, that's he was a significant figure. Then I got to Jason, knowing that he knows baseball, and Frank Robinson. I'm telling you, it had to be April of 1978. Frank Robinson is the manager of the Rochester Red Wings at the time, coming off a stint as manager of the Cleveland Indians, the first African-American manager in Major League history. He was not yet in the Hall of Fame, inducted to the Hall of Fame in 1982. I just looked it up. But a major figure. I mean, he played on World Series teams with the Baltimore Orioles. You know Frank Robinson.
Right. Oh, of course.
Triple Crown winner. He was great.
I would.
And could not have been nicer to three or four knucklehead college seniors sitting there. You know how April minor league baseball, nobody's in the ballpark.
Right.
That was us. We were the only ones in the ballpark for one weekend. And he couldn't have been nicer to us. Came over, you know, in between innings and talked to us. You know, what are you guys doing? You going to school? You finish? You going to graduate? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
He's
one of the few baseball guys that I would recognize out and about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As baseball guys, you kind of, it's easier to recognize them because they don't wear face masks and helmets, and you kind of see them all the time. You see them on TV, and you recognize Frank Robinson, a guy who has been around for so long. Like you said, what, 7 decades?
Yeah,
said parts of 7 decades around baseball. I would recognize him, or would have recognized him.
And that's a great story he told, too, about Brooks Robinson going around Baltimore trying to find him a house.
It wasn't that long ago.
Realtors. No. And Baltimore was kind of a edgy, southern-type city back then in the 70s.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks to Jason joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, presented by Subway Restaurants, proud to be locally owned and operated. And thanks to Steve for indulging me, letting me talk to some guys about baseball.
Don't get used to it.
Good point. We're coming back with more One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Hey, thanks for coming back to the show. John Murphy and Steve Kasker here. I just gave Steve a crash course in Baltimore Orioles 1970s history during the break, and it did not impress.
And I was
the 420 game winners, the World Series against the Mets. I mean, they were a special team.
I was riveted with my attention.
Anyway. Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, talking about the 2019 Buffalo Bills and the 2018 Buffalo Bills. Our Twitter poll today, I find riveting. We've got a lot of response, and it surprised me the way this Twitter poll has played out. I didn't know that Bills fans were this sold on Josh Allen. Let me say that. Is Josh Allen the guy for the Buffalo Bills? That was our Twitter question today. We got more than 2,100 responses, and 48% say, yes, he absolutely is the guy. 42% say, yeah, he probably is. If you're keeping score at home, that's 90% feel pretty good about Josh Allen. 8% say he probably is not, and only 2% say no, he is not. I would have voted with the 42%. He probably is, because it's only 1 year, right? What do you have, 13 starts? I would want more evidence. Yeah.
No, he had 12 starts. He was out for 4 games.
Okay.
Well,
11 starts.
Yeah, that's right.
Week one
he didn't start. Yeah, so 11 starts. They were 3-3 in their last six. And like I said, when I was getting carried away maybe a little bit, I said it was, when he came back from his injury, or when he took over and started playing, he was transformative. And it wasn't transformative in a statistical or production sense, but man, oh man, the attitude about this team was transformed. There's no question that a lot of people were on board with him, and no matter what the Bills do, some people are always going to be on board with it. No matter, as our Twitter poll indicates, there's always a small percentage that are going to be like, no matter what they do, it's not going to work. But by the same token, when he came back in and started to play, I think you got to tip your, at least even if you're a critic of Josh Allen, you got to tip your hat to how he won a lot of people over during the course of this last season, particularly that second half when he came back and played. The improvement he made, the games that he put together, the plays that he made, the way the team looked with him in the huddle, the way they acted and the things they said about him. It's hard to imagine it going, no other quarterback in recent history has made a splash like that and had the great feedback that he's had at this point of his career.
Are you backing off your transformative statement?
No, it was transformative.
Because of this tweet, did you see?
Which somebody...
It's not complimentary, Steve.
Go ahead.
Gabe Humber tweets in, really? Transformative? 3 wins, 3 losses, including a 1-point win over the Mighty Lions? This is from Gabe Humbert. He says, Homer, Steve.
Gabe must not have been watching the first couple of weeks of the season to think that they're the same team at the end of the season if they weren't transformed into a competitive team the last part of the season, the last six games of the season. You weren't watching. Because it was,
I took issue with transformative, and I'm watching pretty closely.
I'm not saying they turned into a great offense, but they were transformed, particularly by the with the attitude that they that people had about them and the way they played. They weren't great offensively, but man, oh man, were they different than when they started? Oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
they scored 3 points on opening day. Three.
Yeah,
they were horrible. It was like it was a huge slap in the face for a lot of people. It was like, oh my gosh, no way. And they weren't that at the end of the season. So I will stand by transformative. I didn't say they turned into a great thing. I'm saying they were different than they were before. Very, very different than they were before.
What do you think, Josh Allen? Is he the guy? Let's got a call here from Alex in Niagara Falls. Hello, Alex. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hello.
Hi, Alex. Go ahead, Alex.
I just want to talk about Josh Allen with you guys.
Go ahead.
I was thinking, you know, he's a good fit. You know, with like the offense that they had this year, I think he did amazing. You know, you lose three, you're starting offensive linemen. You know, you have an aging running back in LeSean McCoy. Then you have, you know, not so great receivers. I think he did great, you know, in his first rookie year. And I think it's, you know, this is like the floor and it could all go up from there.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's a lot to be said for that. And I think there's no question he was the most exciting offensive player during the season. And the performance he put on in Week 17 really left me, at least, and probably a lot of other people, really wanting more. The guy threw for three and ran for two touchdowns. That's a pretty fun day to watch for a quarterback who you're trying to decide whether he's your guy or not. When he hangs five touchdowns on, it's pretty easy to get behind that bandwagon. Anything else, Alex?
He's gone.
Okay.
NFL True and False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy. New York's artisan cheese. You ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
You're the judge here. True or false?
Let's go.
Franchise tag is a scam. Time to kill it. That is a headline written on SB Nation by Adam Stiles. Franchise tag is a scam. Time to kill it. Steve, you can go first with
it. It is absolutely time to kill it. There's no reason to have it on there. These teams know now how to handle the cap, how to manage the cap. It was a reaction to some uncertain waters in the future about free agency, how it was going to work out. And it was a way for ownership to get out of the pressure of signing who they thought was their most important player. For instance, it was about John Elway getting the Broncos a chance to get him signed. You know what? You don't deserve that. You signed him to a deal. When that deal is up, the deal is up. And so I think this franchise stuff should go away, and teams should be forced under the terms of the present contract to set up their next contract without having a whole year of a cookie-cutter salary to give the guy, no matter how high it is. Let the market speak for itself. It'll open up the league a little more, and I think it's time for it to go away.
I would say true as well. Is it a scam? No, but it's not used the way it originally was used, and I don't think it's used anywhere near the way it was originally intended. You know, you go back to the early 90s when this version of free agency came about, and our buddy Bill Polian had a lot to do with the way free agency was set up. The franchise tag was kind of an insurance policy for teams who said, like the Bills or the Broncos, we don't want to lose our franchise quarterback. That's why the name is the franchise tag, quite frankly, because right. There were certain players that teams would identify as, it protects them. He is our franchise. We don't want to lose him. So you have the franchise tag set up with, you know, parameters of how much money it would take to tag him and keep him for 1 year, but it's not used that way anymore. It really isn't. It's used now as Steve said, as a negotiating tool. Let's tag him this year, franchise tag or transition tag, and then we'll maneuver around, and maybe we'll tag him again next year. Yeah, get rid
of him. It's crazy. I don't think they should be able to do it, and it's not fair. That's all there is to it.
Part two, NFL true or false. Jadeveon Clowney will be the top free agent this offseason.
That's false.
I think so, too.
He's going to get franchised.
I think so, too. As unfair as that sounds.
It is unfair. So
or re-signed.
He's not going to be.
Sometimes you get tagged and then negotiations start in earnest.
He is not going to be a free agent. No. So I don't think he'll be the first free agent signed for that reason.
I agree. I think he's a foundational player for the Houston Texans who – you know, now have their window open, right, for a Super Bowl run. As unlikely as it may seem, when are they going to be better than they have been the last year or so?
And here's the thing.
With a healthy J.J. Watt.
J.J. doesn't stay healthy. And Jadeveon has battled injuries early in his career, but you can't count on J.J. Watt being there. And he didn't have the same kind of year this last year as he has had in the past. At least he didn't make a splash like he has. And that's a guy that was three-time MVP, defensive MVP. So Clowney is absolutely a must for the Texans going forward. I think they'll tie him up.
One more from NFL True or False. Going back into NFL history, Paul Krause's 81 career interceptions is a record that will not be broken. 81 picks from 1964 through 1979. Paul Krause, Minnesota Viking, played 210 games, 81 interceptions, ran back three of them for touchdowns. I'll go first. I think that's true. There's nobody even close who is active. Steve, Rod Woodson, who retired in 2003, is third with 71 interceptions. Dick Night Train Lane is fourth. I mean, the numbers, there's nobody close. Charles Woodson, 65 career interceptions. He's fifth. Ed Reed, 64 career interceptions. He retired 6 years ago. Nobody active who's even closer, getting close to it. It's a different game now. Teams would put it up back in the day when Krause was playing, 81 career interceptions. They would put it up deep, and a guy like Paul Krause would sit back there and make a play, get the pick. No, it will. It is, yes, true. It is a record that will not be broken.
I would say never say never. The league is getting more and more pass happy. You get a guy
who's all short stuff.
It's a great guy who's a great player who stays around for a long time on a great defense. It could happen. I'm not going to say never.
I'm going to say never.
Rod Woodson was close. If you give him
ten away,
if you give him one more pick or 0.8 more interceptions per year in his career, he would pass it. So I would say I wouldn't put it out of reach. No.
There's nobody active even close.
Oh, nobody's going to get it close active. I agree with you there. But I would say never. I mean, that's why they keep those things.
I'm looking again down the list.
Oh, it's a long – it's a most of the guys on that list are completely out of the league.
There's 60s, 70s players,
right,
yeah.
Right.
For a reason. People don't play the game the same way.
Yeah.
There you go. NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Want to squeeze in one more call here? Chris in Myrtle Beach. Hello, Chris. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Afternoon, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing great. Good.
Yeah, so I just want to, you know, kind of agree with Steve. I think that towards the end of the year from the beginning was a complete 180-degree turn. You know, I went to the home. I try to go to the home opener every year. So I went to the home opener this year, and I was devastated that I had to go. I had to spend all this money. You know, I know Josh was playing, but it was still his first ever start. And then we got into the middle of the season where we're like, oh, my gosh, what are we even doing this year? Can it be next year already? And then when Josh came back, I was finding myself trying to find tickets to go to one of the last home games because I wanted to see this kid play. He is, you know, he's definitely the answer for the future. But when it comes down to it, you know, I just wanted to let Steve know that I 100% agree with Steve, and that's where I stand. Hope you guys have a good rest of your day.
Agree with Steve that he was transformational?
Transformative.
Transformative. The one that Steve just said.
Thank you. Right on the money, Chris. Thanks for your call. Call back anytime. C-Murph. I wasn't on base.
Now don't look. I'm like anti-Josh Allen. Sure, I am. Yeah, I don't agree with your assertion that he was transformative last year. That's all I'm saying.
You're not anti-Josh. You're anti-Steve.
That's very true. In this case, you're wrong about this.
Over the course of this last season, he transformed that offense for the Buffalo Bills. Absolutely. I'll stand by that. The more
okay,
I talk,
go with that.
From where they were and all the stuff they went through, Derek Anderson, 12 days into his career in Buffalo. Matt Barkley, 11 days into his Buffalo career. Both those guys having to start games.
Matt Barkley transformed him.
And from when when Josh came back the next week, everything changed for that offense. They were fun to watch. They were intriguing. Josh was getting better week by week. It was
I don't agree he was transformative.
Oh, yeah, he was.
I agree he was better. He got better every week. I'm excited about his future.
I didn't say he was transformed. I say the attitude and the offense from where it started to where it ended up was transformed.
How do you account for 12 points at New England and 17 points at Miami, a loss to the Dolphins?
I'm going to tell you. You ready? You want me to hear it? They scored 3 points on opening day. Three. And
so
they were lucky to do it.
12 points is better.
At the end of the game, they scored. Yeah. Okay. It's four times better. That's transformative.
You win.
You. I win.
We're back with more. One Bill. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Well, that's how we wrap up the show. What do we learn? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills, Aditi Kinkabwala of the NFL Network, joined us earlier today. She is based in Pittsburgh. She's right in the midst of covering that crazy meltdown with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, everything else. Aditi Kinkabwala talked to us about the Antonio Brown situation earlier today.
Well, you know, I talked to a high-level member of the organization this morning who said that it was made very clear to him when he met with Art Rooney that he needs to stop hurting his trade value, that the way he's behaving right now, the social media truth serum that he seems to have, or his truth as he sees it, is not helping his cause in any way, and that the Steelers are absolutely not going to be held hostage by his antics or his behavior. And if they don't get what they feel is fair value, then he's not moving.
Well, that'd be interesting. Steve and I will talk about that. If Antonio Brown does not move, what does that look like next year for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Also on the show today, Jason LaConfora of CBS NFL coverage. Jason LaConfora, we got him involved in today's Twitter poll. Josh Allen, is he the guy for the Bills? Here's what Jason LaConfora had to say in answer to that.
I think there is plenty of clay to mold there. I think he is one of the better athletes in this league already. And now it's all about his development. So I would look for progress this year. I'm not looking for the finished product this year. And then I think year three, that's when you want to have a winning quarterback on your hands. But I was intrigued by a lot of what I saw. You can understand why they made the investment they made. But, you know, well, obviously there's still some, you know, a fair amount of progress that needs to be made.
Well, the paying customers, the fans here, the Bills think he's on the right track, obviously. Our Twitter poll today, it was pretty simple. Is Josh Allen the guy for the Buffalo Bills? And on Twitter, on the poll, 48% said, yes, absolutely he's the guy. 42% said, yeah, he probably is. 8%, he's probably not. 2% said no. So 90% approval rating. I'm surprised by that. That's all I'm saying.
I want to hear from the 2% too, once in a while. There's no way. What did they see that made him think he's not? I mean, certainly, because
stay tuned. You might hear him later today.
We had this conversation. We talked about it earlier in the show. There's all these people that just look at the numbers and don't see what you and I saw, and what me and what I'm gushing about this transformative superpower that Josh Allen brought to. Right. So
you got
to
go back there.
Right. Right.
Even when you're wrong, you go back.
Right. So, you know, this transformative force that he became for this Bills offense
transformed into a 6-win team.
Right. Nobody, but you know what I mean. They didn't see the improvement that we saw every week. They didn't notice that the week 17 he had a 64 plus percentage completion percentage. They didn't see the tangible things that we saw week to week that made him so intriguing and his future even more optimistic for all of us. So there's always national people that say, he is what he is. He's not going to do anything.
I think he's intriguing. I think he's fun to watch. I think he is the future of the franchise, the immediate future especially. I feel pretty good about Josh Allen. Pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
I do.
Your feelings haven't been transformed?
No.
That is the word of the day,
no,
by the
way. No, the season was not transformed.
Transformed. Transformational is the word of today's show. Thank you. We'll have a word tomorrow as well.
I want to thank our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Robel, our producer, Jay Harris. We are back tomorrow with another great show, transformational show tomorrow at 12 noon. Make sure you join us. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.